Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
4:03 on a Monday. Welcome in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on all three KGYM frequencies for the next 2.5 hours, 1600 AM, as well as on the FM side of things, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 right here in Cedar Rapids. An opportunity for you to take home tickets to see Tom Segura coming to the Paramount Theater on July 27th. Comedian, you've seen him on Netflix, Conan O'Brien, various shows of that nature. We'll have that opportunity for you coming up here in the first hour of the program. It is, of course, the national championship game on the men's side of the ledger tonight. Virginia taking on Texas Tech, and that's why we will be stepping aside at 6:30 this evening. All three frequencies picking up with the final Westwood One presentation of the college basketball season. Ricky O'Donnell of SBNation.com will be with us inside the 5 o'clock hour to preview tonight's game. We're also anticipating talking with Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago as the Cubs are wrapping up their home opener today at Wrigley Field against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm getting a little nervous right now because segment number two is tentatively titled The Cubs Are Awful, and they don't look awful today. They're beating Pittsburgh 10-0, but I don't think today changes any of the narrative. It's good to be back on the air. Was off Thursday and Friday last week, so thank you to Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com for filling in. Friday, I listened to a little bit of the program. A big thank you to our sponsor on Fridays, Two Rivers Bank, and a big thank you to our Monday sponsor, our presenting sponsor here, Randy's Flooring, Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. You can check them out at one of their two corridor showrooms, one in Cedar Rapids and one on the Coralville Strip in Coralville. Thank you very much for joining us. Alex, thank you for combining with Rob to hold down the fort while I was home taking care of my son, who's feeling much better now. It's not like you guys lacked for things to talk about.
We had a couple of really slow news days, not much to talk about. We were kind of scrounging for topics. No, I kid.
I'm at home. I'm screaming at the walls. Someone has to want to hear my opinion on all of this stuff, and it was an under-the-weather 2.5-year-old, and he's just looking at me like, okay, you're strange, Dad. You're strange. You guys had more than enough grist for the mill.
We certainly did.
Thursday and Friday.
And it was strange because Thursday, we're going into the show, and Rob had just chatted with Fran McCaffrey the night before, and Fran spoke mostly off the record but said some things as far as the Arkansas coaching search, and still continue to deny the rumors. And then we obviously saw Jeff Goodman's report, and I'm sure we're going to get to that. But we're going into the show thinking, all right, well, we have plenty to talk about. And then about 2 minutes before we go on the air, the Lindell Wigginton news drops. Scott Docterman of The Athletic's report about Tyler Cook leaving school drops. And then in the middle of the show, Rob was able to confirm that from a source. And it was a wild couple of days, but we're glad to have you back today.
And
that your son is feeling better.
Meanwhile, look, you get professionals like Rob Howe, and then you get stuck with me moving forward. 366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We will be at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road this Thursday for the next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Hopefully we will see you there. You brought it up, so we'll get to it right now. How fascinating is this? And by fascinating, I mean frustrating and 6,000 other adjectives out there. But
annoying.
Steve Forbes is the guy that Arkansas was reportedly talking to when that private plane spent some time in Iowa City. Steve Forbes, the Lone Tree native, friend of the show, the head coach currently at East Tennessee State, I had mentioned this on the air a while back, that Steve Forbes' father had passed away, and we offered our sympathies to him. He was back in the area tending to family business, and that afforded him the opportunity to meet with officials from Arkansas. That job is still open, by the way. No, Musselman did wind up taking it.
Eric Musselman got off the plane in Fayetteville.
Musselman took the job after his wife told the paper in Reno that they weren't going anywhere. And I agree with, I listened to Mike Halas on with Scott and Mark earlier today, and I don't believe anything. I mean, you just, I still don't think this completely rules out any possibility that contact was made, but
no.
Don't believe anything when it comes to what coaches say and what coaches do. But interesting that Steve Forbes was the subject of the discussion with the folks from Arkansas, presumably Steve Forbes and only Steve Forbes. We'll never know. We'll probably never know. But Jeff Goodman setting the record straight there is, we are sort of in silly season. The latest is Rick Barnes at Tennessee, did a tremendous job of leading the Volunteers to the precipice of big things this season, beat Iowa in the tournament along the way, and now UCLA has come calling.
That's interesting.
It's not interesting. It's Rick Barnes. He's going to do what every other coach who's been tied to the UCLA job has been able to do, and that's leverage it for more. You wouldn't leave Knoxville, Tennessee for UCLA. You wouldn't leave very many places right now for UCLA. They ran off Ben Howland, who took them to several Final Fours because they didn't like the way that they didn't like his style of play. That job is not what it used to be. Rick Barnes is going to get paid.
He is. By the way, Richard Pitino got an extension on the heels of the rumors that...
Good for little Ricky.
That Arkansas...
There you go. All you need is somebody to... There's a radio station out there or something that can come and offer me and Alex, and we can go and, hey.
We'll buy the private plane. Yeah. No, we can't do that. That's a little out of our price range.
And then it turns out that the radio station was just talking to Steve Forbes the whole time. Well, good for Richard Pitino. That's going to backfire on Minnesota probably sooner rather than later would be my guess, but these opportunities have a way of working out well for coaches. They don't have to quit the job that they're at. They don't even have to be interested in the job that other people are interested in them for, but they go to the athletic director, and the athletic director's like, well, I guess I better pay up. 366-1600, again, the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We will get in to your thoughts on a number of things today. Antonio Brown, a chief among them. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And some NHL news to get to today on the precipice of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But first, I'm going to wrap up the college basketball season tonight with Virginia and Texas Tech, just the way that we all imagined it when we sat down with those blank brackets at the start of March Madness. And you already have people saying that this is going to be a bad basketball game. Nobody's going to watch, which I don't believe. I think people are going to watch this. If you're a college basketball fan, why wouldn't you? But there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of excitement about this game tonight.
No, there doesn't. There just are a lot of people presuming already that this is going to be a dud. And I don't agree with that. I think that both of these teams, it's not like either of these teams are bad offensively. They do slow things down. They do play defense. But it's not like either of these two teams are bad offensively. And once I got over the fact that Duke was out, that Carson Edwards and Purdue, after his amazing run, was out, I looked and I said this probably was the best matchup. I know that some people think that Auburn should be in this game. Whether or not Kyle Guy was fouled on the last play of that game, whether or not Ty Jerome should have been called for a double dribble earlier in that possession, all of that is moot because Virginia is in the national championship game, and I still think the storyline is there. These are two of the most underappreciated coaches in college basketball. Chris Beard is the up-and-comer who 5 years ago was at a D2 Angelo State, I believe, and Tony Bennett has proven himself to be one of the best coaches in the country going back to his days at Washington State with Clay Thompson, but has never been able to get over the hump. So I think it's an interesting storyline. Yes, it lacks star power. It lacks those powerful offenses, which is what people want to see. And there are a lot of people scared that it's going to be one of those 50-49 type games. I think it's possible, but I think it'll be more entertaining than people give it credit for.
Vegas is expecting a very low scoring game tonight. The total opened at 119 points, and it is now down to 117.5. If you did that, if you do the math on that, split that equally in half, that's a little over 50 some points a team. This is not going to be a tremendously exciting basketball game tonight, but that does not necessarily mean that it won't be a good basketball game. Like you just said, defense wins championships, the old adage, and these two teams play at a pace that lends credence to that. They've got good defense. There's some good players here. I don't know whether this is good or bad for college basketball. You and I have talked in the past. You would kind of want to see Zion Williamson on the stage.
You would.
The best player on the best team. But that's why they play the tournament. It doesn't always work out that way. And if Duke had won a couple more games, they'd be playing tonight. And we would see Zion Williamson, exploding shoe and all. But I don't necessarily think you have to have star power to have a good game. Now, that being said, we all know that baseball does better, the World Series does better, when the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs are involved. And I know the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. I do think in the Super Bowl you could put the Cleveland Browns in there and people would watch. But other sports tend to do better when popular, large market teams are there. And I don't think the Final Four is necessarily any different. If you had some of the traditional blue bloods playing, people are going to find that more interesting than, Texas Tech and Virginia.
And that's fair, but let me ask those people something. And this is coming from somebody who has said time and time again that I wish that the Final Four was different. I wish we got a different field. But I think back 2 years ago when North Carolina and Gonzaga played in that national championship game. Do you remember that game, Todd?
I barely remember exactly what I had for breakfast this morning.
Well, 71-65, North Carolina won. The team shot a combined 34% from the field, and there were 44 foul calls. It was one of the most difficult games I've ever watched. It was so hard to watch. It was horrible. But you had two blue bloods in there. You had two teams that were in the top 25 offensively throughout the course of that year, and you got a slog in the national championship game. So even if you have some of the best teams in the championship game, there's no guarantee that you're going to get offense. So I think that this game will be unique. Two teams whose identity resides on the defensive side of the ball. Two teams who slow things down a little bit, but get good shots and are efficient offensively. So I think that this could, while it could be low scoring, it could be very quickly, it could move very quickly. As far as game length, I don't think it's going to last very long. And while low scoring, I think it's going to be pretty entertaining, actually.
Should this be Bruce Pearl and Auburn's stage tonight?
Probably.
Now, you were there. Were you at the game?
I was not at the game. I was in Minneapolis for the weekend.
Okay.
I didn't want to shell out the $500 it would take for the...
I thought I saw a picture of you...
I was at the Timberwolves game yesterday.
Okay. Well, but, see, pay attention to the small details.
No, it's okay. I didn't mean to be misleading there, but I did enjoy the weekend in Minneapolis, and they put on a great show as far as the Final Four, and there were a lot of people there, and you're just walking up and down downtown Minneapolis just seeing people that you recognize. But the ending of that game was frustrating because, while I do think that Kyle Guy was fouled, those calls were not made during the course of the game. And then the Ty Jerome double dribble. Did anybody see that real time? Did anybody see Ty Jerome dribble it off the back of his foot, then pick up his dribble, then start dribbling again and say in real time that was a double dribble? Because I sure didn't. I didn't even notice it until people played the video. And then, yeah, it's pretty clear.
What is it with the officiating marring are championship sporting events. I mean, is this a whole lot different than what took place in the NFC Championship game, where you had a lot of people looking and saying it should be the Saints playing in the Super Bowl?
I think it's a little different because that was such an egregious miscall where everybody could see that. And this time around, I don't think that it was a miscall on the foul. You have to protect shooters when they're in the air. And he got hip-checked. It was the same exact thing when Carson Edwards, they were playing, Purdue was playing Tennessee. Carson Edwards got hip-checked while he was in the air, and he got three free throws. That should be called every time. So I don't think that that was a bad call. Now, then you go back to the double dribble, and once again, I didn't see that in real time, and that's such a weird and difficult call for the officials to make in real time.
319-366-1600. Again, the Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line. I appreciate hearing from you. As always, Hurtin & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Let's head to the phone lines and bring Chad in Marion on board. He'll bat leadoff tonight. Chad, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to say, as a college basketball fan, I think tonight's game is going to be a great game, you know, defensively and all. The whole aspect of it's going to be a great game. But as far as viewership being down, probably true. And the reason for that, I think, is a lot of people come out of the woodwork for college basketball during tournament time, you know, non-fans of the sport, and they want to root for their brackets. And very few people have these two teams in the championship in their bracket, which therefore leads them to not care as much about the game.
And there you get to the crux of the issue. Yeah. For a lot of people, if your bracket is busted, if you're no longer the running, it may not, Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, Kentucky, when those teams are good and people have them going to the Final Four, to the championship game, they're usually hanging around. So you're watching tonight and you're trying to do the calculations and I'm going to go out on a limb here. Most office pools are probably decided right now. I don't think the championship game tonight probably has a whole lot of bearing. Now, there may be some folks who have Virginia winning it. People sit down, they don't know anything about basketball, and they just take the one seeds or whatever. Okay. I'm not going
to... There have been a few that I've heard that have taken Virginia to win it all, but still
Texas,
not many.
Texas Tech.
See, that's the problem.
If you've got Texas Tech in the title game tonight on your bracket, we would love to hear from you. 366-1600. I have no idea how you could prove this to us, but if you had the Red Raiders, if you had faith in Chris Beard and Texas Tech from the onset of March Madness, stand up, as long as you're not driving a car or doing anything that this would put you or anybody else in peril, but pat yourself on the back. Maybe give a bow.
Having them in the Final Four count?
Well, no.
Okay.
I'm not going to give credit for that.
No, I've been not necessarily surprised, but I've had several people come to me and say, I haven't watched Texas Tech all year. I know nothing about Texas Tech.
I saw them. I mean, I watched the Iowa State games, and that's about it. And then I know what happened to them at the Big 12 tournament, which was really hard for me to ignore when I sat down and filled out my bracket. And I think I had, were they on the same side as Michigan, right?
They were on the, they
right. I had Michigan beating them, I think.
I thought they had a pretty good draw, and it turns out that they did.
Because I'm an idiot.
No, but they're one of those teams that I think is actually pretty fun to watch, but nobody knows anything about them because they're Texas Tech. And I watched their games. I would say after the Iowa State game when they caught a roll, when they started beating teams in the Big 12 by 25 points, and you saw how good they could be, and I thought this was a dangerous team. Now, I didn't have them getting to the championship game, but I think when people call them boring, it's a pretty clear sign that they haven't seen them play, because they are, when they're rolling, when they get contributions from everyone offensively and the way that they play defense, they're actually pretty fun to watch.
I'm anticipating a good basketball game tonight. I'm also anticipating a basketball game that the vast majority of Americans could not care one iota less about. Unless you are an alum of one of the two institutions involved, I don't see a ton of interest here, which probably has folks at the NCAA upset, but so be it. I mean, you don't, these two teams went out, they took care of business, and they're playing for a championship tonight. Virginia was down 14 to Gardner-Webb in the first round. Everybody was talking about, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. They lost to Maryland Baltimore County last year, and Gardner-Webb's got them. Their backs against the wall this year. Well, they've responded.
I look at them, and they have had so much bad luck in NCAA tournaments and have had so many down moments to end their season. And these last two games, it's been exactly the opposite. That game against Purdue, just a complete fluke. What happened at the end of that game where they miss a free throw with 5 seconds left. It gets tipped out to half court. They get a last second shot to tie it. And then a foul down two from beyond the three-point arc. Kyle Guy steps to the line and drains three free throws when he himself admitted that he was terrified. Now, like you said, you have to give them credit, but my goodness, they have gotten all the necessary bounces that it takes in this tournament to win a national championship. And I wonder, will that run out tonight? Will that luck playing a really good team who matches their intensity on the defensive end run out? I like Texas Tech for that reason, but Virginia's had a couple of those team of destiny type moments right in a row.
By the way, if you're wondering how Bruce Pearl, the former Iowa assistant, took the loss over the weekend, all things considered, pretty well. He told the crew at Get Up on ESPN earlier, this show is still on. I was unaware.
Sure is.
Blissfully unaware. The quote, there's human error involved in the game. That's part of the game. Get over it.
That's basketball? Is that basically what he was saying?
Look, if I had worked my entire career to get to the point where I'm on the brink of going to the NCAA championship game, and I'm Bruce Pearl, and I had Dick Vitale, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, saying on national television that I had committed career suicide, and I've got to go all the way down to the D3 ranks, and I've scratched and I'd clawed my way back up, and I've lost jobs like at Tennessee over NCAA violations, and I've had a show cause. And here I am, the ultimate comeback story, the redemption of all redemption stories, and seconds away from getting to that championship game, it gets taken away from me by a human error. I don't know if I'm saying, there's human error involved in the game. It's part. I'm going to get over it. Kudos.
Impressive.
Kudos to Bruce Pearl for taking it in stride. 4:26, we need to take a break. Remember, coming up, your opportunity to take home tickets to see Tom Segura at the Paramount Theater. The Take It Down Tour comes to town Saturday, July 27th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, so you can win them before you can buy them. Details available at our website, kgymradio.com, where we also have a poll question for you today. Who's this year's NCAA men's basketball champion? Will it be the Cavaliers of Virginia or the Red Raiders of Texas Tech? The poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. When we return, Kyle will bring you a big board update, and the Cubs are awful. Or are they? Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, You're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game. It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
The Todd Brownell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn back with you on all three KGYM frequencies for the next 2 hours, 1600 AM, as well as on the FM side at 106.3 in Iowa City. That's the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. All three frequencies tonight, stepping aside at 6:30 so we can join up with Westwood One final time this season, as Westwood One presents the men's NCAA basketball championship from Minneapolis, Minnesota, as Virginia takes on Texas Tech. And kudos to those of you who have reached out on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. There were a number of you who had either Virginia or Texas Tech playing in the championship game tonight. Although, if you filled out 25 brackets, I don't know whether that's cause for getting a pat on the back, as one of our texters claims to have done.
Yeah, that's a lot of brackets.
It's now, that's still
options.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of options.
You're going to win, though. I think the texter said that they had this
42-17
in three of their brackets.
42-17 says filled out the ESPN brackets, 25 of them, and I had Virginia beating Texas Tech twice and Texas Tech beating Virginia once.
Well, you're going to win at least one of those pools.
And you had 22 other brackets that were completely wrong. No.
Well done, I guess.
I think I've shared this a number of times. I went and sat down and I did an initial run through of the bracket this year, and the Elite Eight, I had all the ones and all the twos. And I said, that never happens. So I went back and I completely rejiggered things, and boy, did I screw myself over this year. Next year, I'm going to do the same thing, and it's going to be sixes, eights, and 13s probably in the Elite Eight. We'll see. Kyle has joined us in the studio. He's going to bring you a big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. Check out their temporary location in Iowa City, and keep Alexander Lumber in mind the next time you have a home improvement project.
I don't want to overstate anything, but Megan Gustafson just might have become the most decorated athlete in the history of Iowa athletics over the weekend. After leading the nation in scoring and reaching handfuls of milestones, she collected National Player of the Year awards from the Writers Association and the AP, the first Big Ten player to claim either, let alone both. The Lisa Leslie Award, and she and Lisa Bluter swept the Naismith Player and Coach of the Year. They don't put me on the air for hard opinions, but you can officially put her right up there with Chuck Long and Niall Kinnick. There was a little bit of a hullabaloo last week regarding Fran McCaffrey's involvement in the Arkansas job search, but we had some light shed on that yesterday by Jeff Goodman. He reports Arkansas met with East Tennessee State head coach and Iowa native Steve Forbes in Iowa City, where he was grieving the loss of his father. That explains the flight information that provided the foundation for the panic. The Iowa baseball team took a series from Rutgers over the weekend, winning the opener on Friday and splitting a doubleheader on Saturday. Cole McDonald deserves a lot of the credit for the Game 1 victory, allowing no runs over 6 1/3, and it was junior first baseman Zeb Adrian having a career day in Game 2. He was 3-for-3 with 4 RBI in the 9-5 victory. The Hawkeyes did get thumped in Game 3, though, 15-3, and next take the field at Bradley on Wednesday. We're hopping off the air at 6:30 today to pick up coverage of the national championship. It's Texas Tech and Virginia on all three frequencies, and tip-off is set for around 8:20.
Colonels are at home tonight, taking on the Kane County Cougars. Absolutely beautiful weather.
Stunning.
Looking out the window.
Had to sit outside. I was wishing that maybe we could do the show outside.
Wanted
today.
To do the show outside today.
I was always that kid in class where it's like, teacher, can we please go outside and have class? She never let us do it. Just like, I don't think we're ever going to be able to host the show outside.
Oh, we could totally do that sometime. I don't know whether it would be worth the effort that we would expend to do that. The closest has been in the past Halloween, when we've parked Juan on the lawn for Halloween. One other thing I want to mention, it's not every day that a co-college alum gets inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, but the 2019... Not Mark Dukes, although I do hear that he had a killer jumper back in the day. The 2019 Naismith Hall of Fame class announced over the weekend, Bill Fitch, a co-college alum, native of Davenport, longtime NBA coach. I believe he still has the best winning percentage of any coach in Boston Celtics history, but Bill Fitch is going into the Naismith Hall of Fame. That gives co-college... Little old co-college in the heart of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a member of the Naismith Hall of Fame in Bill Fitch, and a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Marv Levy, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty impressive company to be in.
And kind of along those lines, it hasn't happened yet, but the NBA Coach of the Year is going to be announced at the following the conclusion of the season, and there's a lot of buzz about the possibility of Nick Nurse being named the NBA Coach of the Year, coach of the Toronto Raptors.
Iowa native and friend of the show.
And friend of the show.
What I'm trying to get at is see what we can do for you here if you hop on the air. Although we've never had Bill Fitch with us, and we've never had Marv Levy, and those guys have done all right for themselves. I don't think we've had too many Cubs on the program either. That I said going in today that I was going to shoot myself in the foot here because I wanted to address how awful the Cubs were, and they were off to their worst start since 1997 when they lost their first 14 games of the season. And then what do they do today? They turn around and they beat the Pirates 10-0 in the home opener at Wrigley Field. Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago will join us tonight at 6 o'clock. The big news in that game, though, the unfortunate news is John Lester had to leave. It was the third or fourth inning he left. He was not in line for the win because he did not make it five innings. Injured himself running the bases. He slid a couple times while scoring, making his way around the bases to score a run. The second slide into home plate, and they were citing hamstring tightness. There was some concern that maybe it would be a back issue, but hamstring tightness, and of course this has all of the folks out there that want to see the designated hitter be universally employed across the American League and the National League up in arms. Here's Exhibit C of why the National League needs the designated hitter. National League doesn't need the designated hitter. Get out of here with that. I think it's coming. It's inevitable. We can all agree on that. But call me an idiot, and many of you probably have and even said worse. I don't mind. I have thick skin. I like the way things are in the National League. I like seeing pitchers get up there and wave rather futilely at fastballs right down the middle of the plate and look foolish on curveballs, and occasionally, as John Lester did today, run into one and drive it into the gap.
But and to see all the pitchers who rake tweets. That's my favorite.
Discussing this now because the Cubs have sort of put a damper on the segment, which again was written down on the board as the Cubs are awful. And they're now 3-7 instead of 2-7. Does that make them any less awful? 319-366-1600. Joe Maddon caught on camera in Milwaukee over the weekend after Randy Rosario served up a meatball. If you could read lips, and I've said this before in the program, I've never been much of a lip reader, but others who are very good at it could read Joe Maddon's lips, and he said, "I'm tired of this blank."
I knew that the pitching and especially the bullpen was going to be a question mark, and so far, my question for you is Todd, as someone who watches the team much more closely than
I've
I do.
Never watched a Cubs game in my life.
Is there hope that the bullpen can get better? Is there hope that it just, or at least hope that it can't get any worse than it has been? Because when I look at their numbers and see that their offense is right now getting on, has a 385 on base percentage and has scored 10 runs in 5 of their 10 games, and they're 3-7, that tells me all I need to know about the pitching staff and their performance so far.
The starting pitching, not named John Lester, has been mediocre to say the least, and the bullpen has been downright awful to the point, and I'm not sure that this has ever happened before, but many people understand that the Cubs opened the season with this 9-game road trip because of the construction that was going on at Wrigley Field. Carl Edwards Jr. was on the opening day roster in Texas, and before the home opener, he was an Iowa Cub. I mean, that's not good.
Poor guy.
To have a key member of your bullpen melt down so badly to the point where he doesn't even make it to the first game at Wrigley Field. And on top of that, you've got the delivery that he was using all spring, which was borderline illegal. And then the first time he uses it in a game, it's pointed out that it is illegal. He's a mess. Mike Montgomery is on the injured list at this point. And then today, you have Lester leaves the game in the third inning, and the bullpen combines to maintain the shutout.
Right.
Thus lowering some earned run averages in the process, and if I am so inclined, I don't know if I want to. It's like driving by a bad car accident and gawking, but let's go ahead and do it. The bullpen ERAs at this point for the pitchers who appeared today, keeping in mind that they did not allow any runs today, so these are their current earned run averages. They've all been lowered from what they were coming into today's game, but Brad Brock, who was credited with the win today, pitching two innings, a 1.50 ERA. He has been serviceable. He was not very good the first time that he appeared. Brandon Kinsler's ERA now 4.76. That's after two scoreless innings today. Randy Rosario pitched two scoreless innings, and the former Colonel's ERA is now 7.20. And Pedro Strop, who needed to get some work in because he hasn't had games to close out because the team has been so awful, Strope pitches a ninth inning and lowers his ERA to a robust 6 runs. That's how bad things are for the bullpen. And meanwhile, you've got Craig Kimbrell out there twiddling his thumbs, which I've seen a number of people suggesting that they need to sign Craig Kimbrell. That would literally be the worst thing that this team could do right now, because what good is a closer if you don't have games to close? Is he pitching the 6th inning, the 7th inning?
Would Dallas Keuchel be an option?
Knowing Joe Maddon, he would pitch him in the 6th inning and 7th inning, and Maddon would go, "Hey, what difference does it make? I'm not going to be here next year anyway." Just like he did with Aroldis Chapman.
At what point
when they won the World Series?
At what point do those questions start circulating around the clubhouse? Because I knew that
Madden's future.
Yes.
There was talk last, if they tanked in Milwaukee over the weekend, there was some speculation that he may not even make it to today. But there he is at the home opener, winning 10-0. Sports is such a fickle thing. As we had one of the texters pointing out, there were people calling for Tony Bennett's job last year after Virginia lost to Maryland Baltimore County in the first round of the NCAA tournament. You want to talk about short-sighted, and a year later, he's got Virginia as a 1.5-point favorite in the national title game over Texas Tech tonight. Now, we'll see. And by the way, speaking of gambling, I will have an update for you. Very exciting, an exciting update for those of you who are interested in whether or not the state of Iowa is going to eventually legalize sports gambling as well as fantasy sports. They're getting closer. It's time for the second funnel in the Iowa legislature. 4:43, it's speaking of time for things. Time for our second break of the day. When we return, we will set the table for a busy 5 o'clock hour, plus I'm going to reward one listener with tickets to see Tom Segura coming to the Paramount Theater Saturday, July 27th. We'll give those tickets away in the next 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their 5 PGA indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Spring is finally here, so it's time to refresh your internet service at a great price by switching to IMON. For a limited time, get IMON 80 megabit internet for just $54 a month and lock in this special rate for the next 2 years. We'll throw in a free Wi-Fi router for 3 months, and if you're already in a contract with another provider, we'll even help with your buyout. So switch to IMON's fast, reliable internet service today. It's like the difference between winter and spring. Go to imon.net/radio before April 28th to get this great deal. New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, get your head in the game. This ain't no exhibition match. This is for real. You've got a house to insure, and there are no excuses because Progressive's Home Quote Explorer makes it easier than ever to get the coverage you need. Here's some music to get you pumped. Dum chugga 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 meow meow meow. Dum chugga chugga chugga. Feel that confidence. Dum chugga chugga chugga. Did I say stop saving money? No. Dum chugga 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 meow meow meow.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
Car guys know, not all motor oils are created equal. Because when your engine hits 75,000 miles, cheaper motor oils won't do. That's why Valvoline created full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology, designed to fight sludge, condition seals, and better protect critical engine components as your engine ages. Keep your high mileage ride driving well into the future. Valvoline, trusted for 150 years. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline full synthetic high mileage and a filter for just $34.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
O'Reilly Auto Parts offers O Rewards points in-store and online. Earn points on everything from replacement parts to tools and accessories. And for every 150 points collected, you'll get a $5 reward. Earn points any way you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on, I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, there's my answer.
Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
4:47, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you till 6:30 tonight. Just spending a little time there during that last break reading up on Bill Fitch's coaching career in the NBA. Fitch led the Celtics to the NBA title in 1981, and 2 years later, he resigned with three more years left on his deal and wound up taking over the Houston Rockets, and then his coaching career went downhill very fast after that. He also spent some time coaching the Nets and the Clippers in the late 80s and early 90s. And if you are a fan of the NBA, especially in that era, you know that coaching the New Jersey Nets and the LA Clippers in the late 80s and early 90s was not exactly a wise coaching decision. But Bill Fitch, for those of you who missed it over the weekend, going into the Naismith Hall of Fame, the Coe College alum, played and coached at Coe before going on to, he coached over 2,000 games in the NBA. And that's impressive, beginning with the Cavaliers back in the 1970-71 season. Record of 944 wins, 1,106 losses along the way. Speaking of impressive, Kyle mentioned it on his big board update earlier here in the hour, but Lisa Bluder and Megan Gustafson taking home the Naismith honors over the weekend. The Wooden Award will be announced on Friday, and Megan Gustafson is up for that as well. She tweeted earlier today that she feels like the Eastern Iowa Airport is her new home. She's been flying in and out of the Eastern Iowa Airport so much. She spent time over the weekend in Tampa at the Women's Championship, the Women's Final Four, which ultimately was won by Kim Mulkey and Baylor. And I knew that yesterday. I just chose not to acknowledge it for 24 hours, just like Kim Mulkey didn't acknowledge what she said about the Baylor program at the time was wrong until 24 hours after the fact. But that's that. I don't know if you'll ever see this happen again in not only Iowa women's basketball, but I don't know if anybody in the Big Ten can ever have a career like Megan Gustafson has been able to pull off. The WNBA draft, the first round, I saw Sarah Spain of ESPN tweet this earlier today. The WNBA draft is airing at 6 o'clock Wednesday on ESPN2. They will carry the first round, and then the second and third rounds move to ESPNU. So for Hawkeye fans and for Iowa State fans, because Bridget Carleton is expected to be taken in, I believe, the second round. She's showed up in a lot of mock drafts. If you're interested in watching the WNBA draft, it is this Wednesday beginning at 6 o'clock.
And to your point about will we ever see something like this with a player at Iowa, it's going to be so difficult because I think a lot of Iowa fans have lamented the fact that she didn't get the recognition that she deserved until this year. Just think about how unbelievable her statistics had to be for her to get the recognition that she got this year. She had to be so much better than the second highest scorer or the second highest rebounder. Now she's first in the country in scoring and third in the country in rebounds per game. That helps. But it was one of those situations where for somebody from Iowa to win awards over players from Baylor or UConn or Mississippi State or Notre Dame, they had to put up astronomical numbers, something that has never been done before. And you know what? Quite possibly never will be done again.
Funny story from over the weekend. I was able to get away for just a little bit. For those of you who listened last week, you know I was not here on Thursday and Friday. I was home taking care of my son, who was under the weather, and my wife, who is fantastic and keeps our household together when things are going well and when things are not going well, said, just go take some time for yourself. Blow off some steam. You've been almost a single parent for 60 straight hours while she was dealing with the Colonel's opening day last Thursday, and the Colonels were home on Friday. And so I said, okay. I went to Clinton on Saturday for their opening night.
I saw this.
And after the game is over, I met a friend out for drinks at the world's smallest Buffalo Wild Wings in a repurposed Target store in Clinton, Iowa. It's nice. Check it out. There's like 12 tables. I mean, it's tiny. It's very small. But we walk in after the game is over, and there were 8 or 9 guys from the team that were in there. So I'm sitting there with my friend who works for the team, and I pulled the waitress over, and I said, hey, get those guys a round of beer. I'm going to buy them a round. They won and sort of welcome them to town and didn't really expect to get anything out of it. But as you know, minor league baseball players are not paid very well. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to treat these guys to a round of beer, right? So waitress comes back, brings the bill at the end of the night. It's like $21 because the beers were cheap. And at the end of the night, a couple of the guys come over to say thank you, which was really nice. Wasn't expecting that. And I said, well, hey, you know, that's the least I could do. I'm a big minor league baseball fan, have been for 30 years, and I know you guys don't make a whole lot of money, and I just thought it would be a nice thing for you to do. And then the players introduced themselves, and one was Connor Scott, who was the first-round draft pick of the Marlins last season, who signed for over $4 million. And the second player introduced himself as Will Banfield, who was their second-round draft pick last year, who signed for $1.8 million. So
you were helping those poor kids out.
I was helping the poor millionaires out, which seems to be not a bad thing to do in 2019. It seems to be something that a lot of people have embraced. I've helped the millionaires out by buying them a $3. Boy, did I feel like an idiot afterward. Yeah, I know you guys don't make much money. Oh, Connor Scott, nice to meet you.
I was thinking that was going to go a different direction where you maybe got somebody who's 20 years old or 19 years old. You bought them a beer. How old are those guys?
Well, they were drinking beer when we walked in, so I assumed that they were old.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that just in case my friend in the Clinton County Sheriff's Department is listening. So there you go, me lending a helping hand to the poor, struggling millionaires of the world. 366-1600, the Hurtin. He was drinking a beer when I walked in. I didn't buy anybody a beer that didn't have a beer in front of him. I want to be very clear about that. But after the fact, I find out, here I am thinking I'm helping somebody out. By the way, the guys who make the huge signing bonuses, they get paid the same amount of money as the 30th round draft pick during the season. I mean, they get paid pennies during the season. The thing is, they just got paid millions of dollars up front. So
maybe that's in a savings account that they can't touch.
They weren't,
and they're still scrounging for money.
They
weren't
hurting for money, but they did appreciate the beers, which was nice. And as we mentioned, the Colonels are home tonight, speaking of Midwest League Baseball, taking on the Kane County Cougars, same team that I saw in Clinton on Saturday night that looked really, really bad. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, we will let you know what's in store coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you, because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who have never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, ever floated across the ground on comfort pods, or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. You can choose from over 100 specialty tools and borrow the one you need, free of charge. Getting the job done just got easier. And right now, AC Pro Premium Refrigerant is only $27.99 after our $20 AutoZone gift card by mail. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide.
Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Ann in Solon is trying to get me in trouble on the text line. I can't say that about Kim Mulkey on the air. I agree with you, but I can't say that about her on the air. Welcome back in. It is the Todd Brownlow Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 6:30 tonight. Coming up to kick off the 5 o'clock hour, Ricky O'Donnell, the college basketball editor of SBNation.com, will be with us. We will preview tonight's national championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech. And we'll get into the Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster saga as well in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, we've got tickets to see comedian Tom Segura at the Paramount Theater. His show, Saturday, July 27th. It is all part of the Take It Down Tour. Tickets go on sale for that show this Friday, but you can win them right now before anybody else can even get their hands on them by being caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. And judging from the response on the text line earlier when I first mentioned it, there are a lot of people out there that want to win those tickets and see that show. So we'll find out who caller number 6 is when we return. As we mentioned, the Cubs winning today, the home opener at Wrigley Field, 10-0 over the Pirates. They improved to 3-7 on the season. More baseball discussion coming with Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He will lead off the 6 o'clock hour. More NCAA discussion as well, but Ricky O'Donnell of SBNation.com joins us when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
This just in, Yankees pitcher Luis Severino heading back to New York to be reevaluated. Severino, dealing with right shoulder inflammation, will undergo an MRI. Pain not an issue, but the Yankees want to run tests to figure out why Severino's not feeling well enough to hit the mound. The defense wins championship adage applies to tonight's national title game, Texas Tech versus Virginia, matchup featuring two of the best defenses in the country. In the end, the Red Raiders will be cutting down the nets, believes ESPN's Seth Greenberg.
I think they'll create offense out of the defense. And if you look at Texas Tech's journey, look who they beat, but more importantly, look at how they've beaten them. They've been the most dominant team in the NCAA tournament. Whether it's Michigan, Michigan State, Gonzaga, look how they've played and how they've dominated those teams.
ESPN's Chris Lowe reporting UCLA's offered Tennessee's Rick Barnes a package that would pay him $5 million a year, not counting bonuses and incentives, to make him the Bruins' new basketball coach. Barnes has spoken with UT officials about a new deal with the Volunteers.
Coming up Tuesday, nothing but winners. Taking a look at the college basketball national championship game and one of your last chances to get qualified to come with us to Nashville for the NFL draft. Win your way in only with Golden Wingo Tuesday. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Welcome to Spain and...
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Welcome back in the Todd Brownlow-Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 1600 AM. Also, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Monday's program brought to you by our friends at Randy's Flooring. Check them out in Cedar Rapids and Coralville. Tell you more about Randy's Flooring throughout the remainder of the program tonight. Off at 6:30 or thereabouts as we pick up coverage of Westwood One's call of the national championship game tonight, the men's championship game featuring Virginia and Texas Tech, just the way we all drew it up on our brackets. Right, Alex?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Something like that.
Ricky O'Donnell, the College Hoops editor for SBNation.com, set to join us on the program right now. Ricky, appreciate you taking the time to join us ahead of tonight's game. How far did you have both of these teams coming in your bracket?
I had Virginia in the Final Four, and I had Texas Tech getting knocked out in the round of 32 by Buffalo. So I think that, you know, this is the type of national championship game that not a lot of people saw coming. It seemed like most of this college basketball season was focused on Duke and the phenomenon that is Zion Williamson. But the old saying goes that defense wins championships, and I think we've seen that throughout this tournament. These have been the two best defensive teams in the country throughout most of the year. You can throw Michigan in there as well. But, you know, the combination of just absolute defensive dominance by Texas Tech and just a lot of good fortune by Virginia has helped set up this title game tonight.
Let's get to the good fortune of Virginia in the ending of that first game on Saturday. There was some controversy whether or not Kyle Guy got fouled. I think he probably did, but whether or not he double dribbled. Should Virginia be in this game?
Probably not. I think the Elite Eight win is even more unbelievable.
Right.
If you replayed the last 5 seconds of that game 100 times, I don't know if Virginia wins it again. With the pass from Kihei Clark, the buzzer beater to Diakite, just an incredible ending to that game for Virginia when it looks like Carson Edwards and Purdue would knock them out and be on their way to the Final Four. The game against Auburn, again, just totally incredible. Being at the stadium, most of the people in the media thought Auburn had won. It was tough to hear the whistle. The PA announcer announced that Auburn had won the game 62-60. So I do believe Guy was fouled. It could have been a double dribble, absolutely, on Ty Jerome earlier in the possession. But that's a hard, you know, call to make in that spot. I don't think anyone really noticed it in real time. So I think Virginia's had a lot of good fortune. But, you know, you have to put yourself in a position to be lucky. Virginia's certainly done that. And if you look at the track record of Tony Bennett's program over the last 6 years, this is a program that's been as consistent as any in college basketball. So essentially, if you just keep giving yourself a chance to get lucky, maybe one day it'll happen. I think that largely that's what happened. That is what has happened with the Cavaliers this year.
You had a good piece at SB Nation on how this team got over the loss to Maryland Baltimore County in last year's tournament and was able to get to this point. It involves whitewater rafting.
Yeah, that was something they did as a preseason bonding trip, talking to a lot of the guys about that. Yesterday, it was something that they said was sort of a fun group bonding activity for a team that needed something to take its mind off the loss to UMBC. Kyle Guy has openly talked about that throughout the year. His social media avatars and his phone background is still a picture of himself defeated against UMBC. So I think that was, you know, sort of the first step of starting a new year and something to bring a group that returned most of its key players, get them, you know, thinking about a new year instead of the loss to UMBC. So Virginia's been excellent this year throughout the entire season. They're number one in the efficiency rankings overall. They're the only team with a top five offense and top five defense this season. So I think that they enter tonight as the favorite, but I do think Texas Tech will have a chance as well.
Thought about this over the weekend with Tony Bennett. Did his losses in the NCAA tournament sort of overshadow how good of a coach he is? A guy that plays a completely different style than everybody, doesn't get five-star recruits, and pretty much dominates the regular season in the toughest conference in the country.
Yeah, certainly he's a phenomenal coach. To me, Virginia, it's like the names of the players change, but the system remains in place. They're always in the top five of defensive efficiency. They're always among the slowest teams in the country in terms of tempo. This year, they're dead last in tempo out of 353 Division I teams. It's pretty remarkable. So is this the best Virginia team ever? I don't know. They've had some great players in the past under Tony Bennett. Joe Harris comes to mind. Malcolm Brogdon, of course, comes to mind. Justin Anderson, who was at the Final Four game the other night, comes to mind. So While Virginia, you know, they haven't been overly impressive in this NCAA tournament. They were down 14 to Gardner-Webb at one point in the first round. They didn't look good against a 12th-seeded Oregon team in the Sweet 16, and then they needed miracles the last two games to win. I think that over the course of the last 6 years, it's a program that's headed into March Madness with a number one or number two seed five times in a row. To me, the comparison that keeps popping up in my mind is Villanova, who for so long was the team that was always a high seed entering March Madness and was constantly getting knocked out early. Well, now Villanova has won two of the last three national titles. I think Virginia, just by being so consistent throughout the regular season every year, they've put themselves in a position to win a championship. We'll see if they can get it done tonight. And if they do, I think, you know, the questions about Tony Bennett's style will forever be erased.
SB Nation's Ricky O'Donnell with us previewing the national championship game tonight. The over-under on this game opened at 119 points. It's down to 117.5 points. What wins tonight? First team to 50, first team to 55?
Yeah, I mean, first team to 60, I think, would for sure win. I expect both teams to probably be under 60, not only because both the defenses are so elite, but also because both teams play at a really slow tempo. No one plays slower than Virginia, and Texas Tech is in the 200s in the tempo ratings as well. So I think there's going to be a limited number of possessions. The one thing that could make this game watchable, though, from my perspective, is neither team fouls. If you remember in the Final Four game against Auburn for Virginia, they didn't even get an under four TV timeout in because the whistle never blew. Both these teams will play pretty consistent basketball. There's not going to be a lot of stoppages in play because of ticky-tack fouls. And I think that as long as the action is flowing, that it could turn into a pretty good, close, exciting game.
Chris Beard, you look at Texas Tech, and he's taken them to two consecutive Elite Eights, the only two they've ever been to. This is a program that hadn't been bad in the past. They've had some good coaches. They've been to the NCAA tournament, but they're doing things now that they've never done before. How is he doing it?
Yeah, it definitely starts with defense. The Chris Beard story is incredible. 6 years ago, he was coaching in the ABA, sleeping in his car. 5 years ago, he was at D2 Angelo State. You compare that with Tony Bennett, whose dad was a great coach, who went to the Final Four with Wisconsin. It's just totally different paths to get here. Chris Beard certainly clawed his way to get to the top, I think. You know, it starts with his defensive philosophy and with his assistant coaches hammering that philosophy home to their players. It's a program that doesn't have any five-star recruits. They have only one four-star recruit on the team, and Brandon Francis, yet they're going to have a lottery pick for the second year in a row. Last year it was Zaire Smith. This year it's going to be Jarrett Culver. The defense just denies you the lane. They push everything towards the baseline, towards the sidelines. If a ball handler does break free, they have a great 22- or 23-year-old shot blocker in Tariq Owens, who's been phenomenal for them as a grad transfer from St. John's. So I think the combination of the ball pressure defensively in the shot blocking instincts of Owens has really made this an elite defense. Now, Owens did get hurt in the Final Four game. He suffered a pretty bad ankle sprain. He ended up coming back into that game, but Chris Beard was telling the media yesterday that Owens is still feeling the effects of that injury. So I think his status, how effective he can be, could go a long way towards determining this game.
What other factors do you see playing in favor of Texas Tech tonight? Matt Mooney has been terrific for them as a grad transfer.
Yeah, Mooney played the game of his life in the Final Four, 22 points against Michigan State. He caught fire from the outside. For a player who was at Air Force originally in his career, then he went to South Dakota. It's a remarkable story. You can't even find a recruiting page for the kid because he was basically a zero-star recruit out of high school. Niles Notre Dame in the north suburb of Chicago. So Mooney's been terrific. They have another sharpshooter, Davide Morietti, who is from Italy. He can get hot from the perimeter too. But everything with Texas Tech starts with Jarrett Culver. He struggled immensely in their Final Four game, but to me, he's a top five player in the next NBA draft. I actually like him number two overall after Zion Williamson because he plays such a complete two-way, high IQ game, big, strong, long, basically has everything you would want besides for takeover scoring ability, but there's not a lot of holes in his game. Maybe with the exception of the pull-up jump shot. So I think that because Texas Tech has the best player on the floor, in my opinion, in Jarrett Culver, and they have such a ferocious defense and a head coach that just gives you no advantages on the offensive end, I think Texas Tech does have a real shot tonight.
Has Jarrett Culver's year caught you off guard at all? Because you mentioned Zaire Smith, a guy who was a three-star recruit last year who
had an unbelievable year in his freshman year and became a one and done. They lose five of their six starters, and then all of a sudden they have another guy who was a nice player last year but now looks every bit of a top five pick like you mentioned.
Yeah, I had Culver in the 20s in my preseason mock draft, which I don't even think that was a consensus opinion at the time. I liked him last year. He was the third leading scorer. He's a freshman for Texas Tech, and he scored efficiently as well. Did I see him blossoming into a top five pick? No, I don't think anyone has. But a few things have changed for him. Most notably, I think he's grown physically. He was listed at 6'5", 190 pounds when he entered the program. I asked him about this after their win against Michigan State. I asked him if he's been measured recently. He says he hasn't. I would guess he looks closer to about 6'7", 210, or 215 now. He's just gotten a lot stronger. I think he's gotten taller. And because of that, it's sort of helped unlock the rest of his game. He's a really confident ball handler. His big move schematically this year has been playing more point guard. He initiates the offense a lot of times for Texas Tech, while last year he was playing off the ball with Keenan Evans, a senior point guard for them at the controls. So he's a phenomenal player. I think that, you know, you saw that he was able to still knock down two clutch shots, first a floater, then a pull-up three late in that final four game against Michigan State after struggling mightily throughout the night. So Culver, to me, is the best player on the floor. He's going to have a really tough matchup against DeAndre Hunter for Virginia, who's another potential top 10 pick, a great point of attack defender, and also a knockdown three-point shooter if he gets enough time to get his release off. So it's going to be a great matchup, and you know, I think Culver can really do a lot for his draft stock and his reputation should he have a big game today.
Now, they struggled a little bit during the regular season when he wasn't shooting well. Have they shown in this tournament that they can win even when he doesn't have a 20-25 point night?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there are enough guys to pick up the slack, but they have to hit their outside shots. It's basically what it comes down to. Mooney was the star against Michigan State because he was raining threes. Morietti can do it too from the outside. So essentially what Chris Beard has is a spread floor with a rim runner slash rim protector at the five in Tariq Owens, and a big oversized ball handler who you can't really strip the ball from in Culver. So everything's going to run through that sort of four out pick and roll system. The easy play for them is Culver taking it to the basket. If he gets doubled, he's going to look for the lob to Owens, or if, you know, someone from the perimeter comes to help, he's going to kick out for the three. It's a pretty simple offense in a lot of ways, but it's effective, especially when your shooters are hitting their outside shots. We know that it's tough for teams to shoot in the dome setting, but Texas Tech was knocking down shots against Michigan State. So if they do it again, if Owens is healthy, I actually like them to win this game.
Ricky, as we part ways with you tonight, is there a team that you saw in the tournament this year that you think may play a factor next year?
That's a good question. I think Michigan State, should Cassius Winston return, probably deserves to be the number one team next year. They're going to bring back everyone. To me, when they inserted Xavier Tillman in the lineup after Nick Ward got hurt, they were one of the best teams in the country. So I like Michigan State. I also like Michigan, depending on which of their guys declare. They're going to lose Charles Matthews most likely, but if they bring back Izzy Brazdeikis, if they bring back Jordan Poole, they're going to have some scoring on the wings, assuming those guys continue to get better with another year of age. So I like those two teams. And, you know, the thing to remember about next year is that Duke is not going to have this super loaded recruiting class. There are some top recruits still uncommitted, and I'm sure Duke will add someone. But Duke's overall talent level isn't going to be anywhere near where it was this year, even if Trey Jones does indeed come back. Same with North Carolina. They're losing three senior starters. They don't have a great recruiting class coming in either. They are probably going to get Cole Anthony, who's arguably the top recruit in the country. He's a point guard still uncommitted. But I think Carolina takes a huge step down. I think Duke takes a huge step down. Next year could be a year where the veteran teams really shine. I think Michigan and Michigan State are both in position to do that.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, we appreciate the time. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks.
Boy, just like, again, like we all had it on our brackets at the beginning of the March Madness. Texas Tech and Virginia.
It wasn't me that said that Virginia was definitely the first number one seed that was going to be out of this tournament.
Virginia,
it wasn't me.
I specifically recall their first round game against Gardner-Webb. I was on the S-curve heading north at lunchtime and listening to the Westwood One coverage of that game thinking, not again. It's not going to happen to them again, is it? And they were able to claw back in that game. And here they are playing for, look, Tony Bennett and Chris Beard. I liked how Ricky highlighted that. This is a contrast in pedigrees here. You have one coach who is the son of another great coach and has been able to work his way up through the ranks rather easily. He won at Washington State. Nobody wins at Washington State. And then on the other hand, Chris Beard. I don't know how you not like Chris Beard. The guy has talked about, I thought the answer that he gave to the question about being at the Final Four before was great. Yeah, he's been at the Final Four before. He was just out in the lobby drinking beer. And this time he's coaching in it. And that was before his team won to advance to tonight's championship game. A guy who was sleeping in his car about 5 or 6 years ago and is now coaching on the highest stage. The question, I think, becomes how long can Texas Tech hang on to
him? That's a great question because everyone in the country is going to want him other than the programs with Coach K and Roy Williams. Everyone in the country is going to want Chris Beard for the job that he has done this year after they lose 5 of their 6 leading scorers from last year. And they're in the national championship game for the first time. Incredible story.
I am rooting for Texas Tech tonight only because of the fact that they have Matt Mooney on the roster. And Matt Mooney is from Wauconda, Illinois. And my aunt and uncle lived in Wauconda, Illinois for a number. My aunt still lives there. My uncle passed away 20 years ago. But so solely for the purposes of having ties to that community, as loosely based as they may, there aren't a whole lot of places in the world where there are Brommel camps living in town, Wauconda, Illinois being one of them. I got a pull from my guy, Matt Mooney, who I've never met in my life, but Texas Tech. Look, as I said, the over-under on this game is 117.5 points tonight. Virginia and Texas Tech opened as a pick'em. Virginia is now a slight favorite of about 1.5. It may or may not have moved since we've come on the air tonight, but Virginia, a slight favorite, and it's the first team to, they may not get to 60 unless there's overtime tonight in this contest. But is this good for college basketball? This is the first time since 1979 when Michigan State and Indiana State played for the title, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, the matchup that sort of propelled March Madness to where it's at today, because without that, who knows how long it takes for this event to sort of gain the traction that it did that particular year. First time since 1979 that two teams that have never won a championship will play. Somebody's going to make history tonight.
Is it good for college basketball?
Is it good for basketball? 366-1600.
It's sort of been the trend, hasn't it? I know that Ricky brought up the fact that Villanova has won 2 of the last 3 national championships. This is sort of their blueprint. Play tough defense, have experienced guards, and shoot the ball well. And that's what both of these teams do. So it is what it is. I have said this before. I'll say it one more time. I would love to see Zion Williamson in this, and people are giving me crap for that, but that's fine. I would love to see Zion playing tonight.
I think the Nike executives would like to see Williamson playing tonight. I think certainly Duke would like to see Zion Williamson playing tonight because it would mean they were there, but he's not. But I think this, to me, it is Masters Week, so I'm going to throw this out there and probably upset a number of people by saying this here in Eastern Iowa, but this is sort of like Zach Johnson winning the Masters in 2007. It's not a huge name. Is it good for golf? Probably wasn't. Now, Zach has gone on to have a very nice career. There's no doubt about that. But you tune into the Masters, you want to see Tiger Woods back in the heyday. You tune into the national championship game, you kind of want to see a Duke, a North Carolina, somebody of that stature, of that pedigree. There's nothing wrong with the occasional mutt making its way to the top of the litter, and we got a couple mutts playing tonight in Virginia and Texas Tech. This is, look, I said this at the beginning of the tournament. I don't know if you remember this. Texas Tech was one of those teams that I struggled with.
Right.
Because I watched them this year throughout the Big 12 season, and sometimes they would look great, and there would be other times where they looked like a pedestrian, middle-of-the-road Big 12 Power 5 team. It just, I didn't know what to do with them, and ultimately, like many of you, I'm looking at the bracket standings at KGYMRadio.com. Our bracket challenge coming to an end, brought to you by our friends at Imon Communications. Not too many people saw Texas Tech and Virginia getting to this point.
I think I had Texas Tech in the Final Four in one of the brackets that I did. So they were the only Final Four selection out of eight possible spots that I got right. They were a team, like you said, I struggle with. They were playing so well at the end of the season, and then they lost in the first round of the Big 12 tournament to West Virginia, and it put the doubt back in your mind about them. But you knew that they could get hot, and that's exactly what they've done. Virginia, as we've talked about for the last couple weeks, or at least the last week or so, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And they have been good in this tournament. They've had plenty of good bounces go their way, and that's why they're still standing tonight.
Are you looking forward to tonight's game, 366-1600, or will you be bored to tears to the point where you're going to do some channel flipping and maybe tune in if you notice that it's a close game at the end? Very curious about this, given the conversation so far today with this matchup. 366-1600, again, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Great to be back on the air here on a Monday. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way until 6:30 tonight on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. All three frequencies at 6:30, picking up Westwood One's coverage from the Twin Cities, the national championship going to Texas Tech or Virginia tonight. History will be made. We're going to take a quick timeout. Back with more after this.
Our homes are where we make the best family memories, but sometimes things can get a little messy. Kids will be kids and dogs will be dogs, but your floors don't need to show it. Randy's Flooring offers the best selection of pet-proof and kid-proof flooring materials. Let one of the Randy's interior designers or sales professionals help you find the right products at the right price for you and your family. Visit randysflooring.com or stop by either corridor location and see why Randy's makes the difference. Randy's, local flooring experts by design.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day. Member FDIC.
Flying along the trails, roughing it off-road, or just keeping up with the kids this summer. Come get the new bike or accessories you've been wanting during the spring sale at Hall Bicycle. Now through April 15th, get the best deals on everything at Hall Bicycle. Save on every Trek bike, up to $400 off. Save on all the accessories you want too. It is time to get ready to ride during the spring sale, now through April 15th at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue in downtown Cedar Rapids. Serving cyclists since 1898.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
20 professionals speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
Spring is a time for new beginnings and new ways to get smart rock and roll. Smart FM's got you covered with your favorite tunes spanning decades. Lacing up your running shoes? Tune to Smart FM. Getting ready to grill on the deck? Season your steak with Smart FM. Shining up those golf clubs in the garage? Keep your radio locked on Smart FM. Eastern Iowa's home for smart rock. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
527, welcome back in the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 6:30 tonight. That is when we will step aside once again for Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA Men's Championship from Minneapolis as Texas Tech takes on Virginia. Virginia, a slight favorite in that contest tonight. And we will have that for you again coming up in just about an hour. Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago, also scheduled to join us at 6 o'clock tonight. John Lester leaving his start, the home opener for the Cubs at Wrigley Field early today. Sounds like he will undergo an MRI on that hamstring strain. He is expected to miss his next start, although he says he's not going to miss his next start. But that's exactly what you would expect John Lester to say. That information will not show up on Kyle's next big board update. The big board being brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City. Their temporary location at 2802 Independence Drive. Here's Kyle.
Well, I don't want to overstate anything, but Megan Gustafson just might have become the most decorated athlete in the history of Iowa athletics over the weekend. After leading the nation in scoring and reaching handfuls of milestones, she collected National Player of the Year awards from the Writers Association and the Associated Press, becoming the first Big Ten player to claim either, let alone both. The Lisa Leslie Award, and she and Lisa Bluter swept the Naismith Player and Coach of the Year. They don't put me on the air for my opinions, but you can officially put her right up there with Chuck Long and Niall Kinnick. There was a little bit of a hullabaloo last week regarding Fran McCaffrey's involvement in the Arkansas job search, but we had some light shed on that yesterday by Jeff Goodman. He reports Arkansas met with East Tennessee State head coach and Iowa native Steve Forbes in Iowa City, where he was grieving the loss of his father, so that explains the flight information that provided the foundation for that panic. The Iowa baseball team took a series from Rutgers over the weekend, winning the opener on Friday and splitting a doubleheader on Saturday. Cole McDonald deserves a lot of credit for the Game 1 victory, allowing no runs over 6 1/3, and it was junior first baseman Zeb Adrian having a career day in Game 2. He was 3 for 3 with 4 RBI in the 9-5 victory. The Hawkeyes did get thumped in Game 3, however, 15-3, and next take the field at Bradley on Wednesday. We're hopping off the air at 6:30 today to pick up coverage of the national championship. It's Texas Tech and Virginia on all three frequencies, and tip-off is set for around 8:20.
Beautiful night for Colonels baseball. They are about an hour away from first pitch at Veterans Memorial Stadium as the Kane County Cougars come to town. Have not had a chance to check out the team in action yet this season, but we'll be there for a little bit of time later on tonight after we get off. It kind of works out with ending the show at 6:30 tonight. If I can get out the door fast enough, I just may be there for first pitch this evening. Colonels struggling so far early this season, but it's early. And I'm telling, look, the weather outside right now is absolutely beautiful. It's so beautiful out right now. Even Antonio Brown is out enjoying the beautiful weather wherever he may be and not on Instagram taking shots at his former teammate. This is the story of the day. If you listen to KGYM throughout the morning and into the afternoon, you know that even with the NBA playoffs about to get underway and the Stanley Cup playoffs about to get underway, the NFL, as we mentioned time and time again here, is a 12-month-a-year news cycle league. They dominate the headlines. Anytime anything goes on in the NFL, it gets talked about, and you think people are gearing up for the draft right now. No, the story today in the NFL is Antonio Brown continuing to be sort of this petty nasty individual. He's a mean girl.
He's a troll.
He's a troll slash a mean girl, if that term can be applied here, which I think it can. He's now firmly set his sights on the man who basically made him expendable in Pittsburgh, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster. And I don't know what the purpose is here, other than I guess he's trying to convince the world that the Steelers are the bad guys, and they chased him off, which isn't necessarily the case. He demanded the trade. He's the one who set in motion the wheels to wind up as a member of the Raiders. I don't know. This is, I don't even know how to describe this here, but he gets on Instagram and posts a picture of a direct message that he got from Juju Smith-Schuster back in November of 2015 when Juju Smith-Schuster was at USC. And there's nothing wrong here with this. He's basically saying, hey, I'm in college and I want to take my game to the next level. And can I pick your brain? Can you give me some advice here? And Antonio Brown is using this as ammunition against Juju Smith-Schuster. It just comes off as being really, really petty and almost, I don't even know how to describe it this point.
It started with Juju Smith-Schuster coming out and backing Ben Roethlisberger. And somebody pointed that out to him.
The Kim Mulkey of NFL quarterbacks, as I like to refer to him as, yes.
Then somebody tweeted at him that
he wins, but you don't necessarily have to like it.
That Juju Smith-Schuster was named the Steelers MVP last year, and he replied to that, the boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everyone went blind, too busy making guys famous, not enough reality these days. By the way, check the list. So he's basically throwing him under the bus again. And then when everybody gets outraged about that, he goes on Instagram and then posts the direct message of Juju Smith-Schuster. Honestly, the only thing that is being done here in reality is Antonio Brown is looking like more and more of a jerk, and Juju Smith-Schuster is coming out of this smelling better and better. Because we knew that he was going to be the future of this organization at the wide receiver position. He's been outstanding, and he can be a number one receiver. And he's been nothing but a professional throughout his entire time. And him posting the Instagram direct message shows that, does it not? This is a guy who was at USC in college and was one of the best receivers in the country and was reaching out to somebody who was in the NFL and established himself for some tips. I don't know how you can make him look like more of a professional and yourself like more of a jerk in this situation, because that's exactly what's happened.
Well, give Antonio Brown another 24, 48 hours, and maybe he'll figure out a way to answer that question. But it does look bad, and to me, it looks like a guy who realizes that while he's number one, and Juju is number two. The way that Juju Smith-Schuster was performing, he was very clearly going to ascend to the number one spot, and Antonio Brown didn't want that to happen while he was still in Pittsburgh. So essentially, he gets out ahead of the posse. He orchestrates this trade. It gets him out of town. And he's not going to be overshadowed by Juju Smith-Schuster while he's there in Pittsburgh wearing the same uniform. It strikes me as extremely vain and petty, and you do see this all the time, especially at that position. The wide receiver, that's the diva position in the National Football League. And, I mean, Antonio Brown is right there at the top of the list, but if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you're looking at this going, he's somebody else's problem now. This may be, as hard as it is to imagine, addition by subtraction.
Well, and that's the point here. when you were gone on Friday, we talked about your Green Bay Packers and the story done by friend of the show, Tyler Dunn, about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy's.
What a dumpster fire.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what was the problem in that relationship? The problem with that relationship was, sure, they both wanted to win, but not if it made the other look good. Like, if Mike McCarthy was going to look good doing something, Aaron Rodgers didn't want to do it, and vice versa. Because they had their egos were so large, or their egos are so large, that they wanted all the credit, seemingly over wins and losses. And the vibe that you're getting from Antonio Brown is, sure, he wants to win. Sure, he wants to be the best receiver in the league, but he wants to prove more than anything that the Pittsburgh Steelers can't win without him. That he was the most valuable player on that team. He was that team, and they can't possibly get by with this bum and Juju Smith-Schuster, who, oh, by the way, has jumped on the scene and done every... And do you want that in your locker room? And I get, like you said, it's the diva position, and he's so good that a lot of times it doesn't matter. But when someone's ego is so big that they can't be happy for their teammates, or they can't think that they can possibly win without them having a big game or their stats being inflated, that's when it gets in the way and becomes a problem, and it clearly has here.
319-366-1600 if you want to weigh in on the ESPN had to just absolutely be ecstatic when it saw this.
Yes.
Hey, we've got another reason to talk about the NFL today, and it doesn't have to do anything with mock drafts, which, by the way, the other story that I did find interesting today via Dan Patrick, who is very good at getting athletes to open up, but we've got a name change. Johnny Manziel is no longer Johnny Manziel. And before you think that we're going down the road of Bruce Jenner here, pump the brakes just briefly. He now wants to go by John Manziel. John Manziel sounds like a man who maybe doesn't make bad life choices.
See, I think that's what he's going for. He went from JFF to Johnny to just John.
John Manziel sounds like a man who pays his taxes on time, doesn't get audited by the IRS.
Shows up on time to meetings, not drunk.
If there's a football league that will employ him at this point, which I guess we're probably down to the XFL, which doesn't launch until 2020. Which,
rest assured, he will be signed by the XFL.
This, to me, is really interesting while we're discussing football here, but the number of players from the AAF who are being signed by NFL teams right now, it sort of proves that this league was working. But the NFL's benefiting from the league going belly up without having to have entered into a working agreement with the league to keep it alive, which I think when you step back and look at this now in hindsight, I think the NFL, and in particular the NFL Players Association, which didn't want to do business with the AAF in coming to a working agreement, I think they realized, yeah, it would be in the best interest of everybody if this league just sort of went away right now and the better players can wind up getting NFL deals and get an opportunity to go into camp and compete for jobs. And we need their talent more than we need them as a league.
It's weird because I thought the NFL was going to be on board with having these guys who maybe they thought were just a little bit below them, who they thought, okay, they could be developed, and in the past we wouldn't be able to see them on a football field because there's no league that has 1 year unguaranteed or unguaranteed contracts that you can just easily get out of. And it sort of worked out that way, but I thought all along the whole point of it was to see these players. And if a player from the AAF got signed, this is what all the players were told prior to the season. If a player from the AAF gets signed by the NFL, they can get out of their contract. And that's what it was supposed to be. That was what it was sold by the higher-ups at the league as the AAA of the NFL, as something where, like we were talking about, maybe down the road there are going to be two-way contracts. And like I said, by having it in the spring, they made it so you couldn't get called up during the season. And I thought that was a big mistake. But it just it never seemed like it was going to work out the way that they all planned it out. It was another instance of overpromise and underdeliver, and that is not a good business plan.
The AAA version for the NFL without a New Orleans Baby Cakes franchise.
Right.
Which unfortunately will be no more after this year. One of the creepier minor league baseball names. The team is moving to Wichita after this season. I don't think the Baby Cakes name will travel the way that the city's NBA franchise name travel. Even though that one didn't make sense either. The Utah Jazz. But I do find that to be very interesting, and these guys are at least getting an opportunity with the NFL, which is all you can ask for at this point.
Some of the horror stories about the players after the league folded.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel sorry for them. If I were at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Clinton, Iowa, I would buy beer for them because I guarantee you they make less money than the guys I was buying beer for inadvertently, not knowing their ages on Saturday night. But I feel bad for them at the same time. If a league or an entity goes belly up and it's bankrupt and it doesn't have any money, then there are laws in place that allow that entity to not have to pay its bills.
Well, that's true.
But these poor guys, housing will be taken care of, and then you wind up finding that you owe a Motel 6 $1,700 or whatever it was.
$1,725. One of my brother's friends, Logan Tooley Tillman, who played at Michigan his freshman year and then now played for the Memphis Express for about a month. They were staying at an extended stay somewhere in Memphis. Not a very nice one, by the way. And
that's an oxymoron, isn't it?
I know. But he was told, everyone was told, hey, you're going to have free housing. This is free. Now, the league goes belly up, and all of a sudden, all the players, not only do they have their luggage sitting in the lobby of this extended stay.
Hotels are not meant for extended stays. You stay in a hotel for a couple days, and then you get out of town.
Right, but then they got a bill. For some reason, he got a bill for $1,725. He was only there for a month.
It's a lot of room service, which I don't think they have. And it's been a while since I've been at an extended stay, but I don't think they have room service there. I do feel really bad for those guys. They're out there chasing a dream. They think there's some stability. At the same time, I try to put myself in their shoes. And if a story comes out in week two that the league needs $250 million or whatever in cash infusion to keep it alive, if I have an agent, I'm probably on the phone to said agent, and if I don't, I'm probably looking at a fallback plan here. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do if things go south, and, well, they went south.
I see that side of it, but Tom Dundon, who took over chairman.
Can he work off his debt at the extended stay hotel, like as a like doing room service
and
laundry?
Well, if he wasn't worth over $1 billion, then maybe, but he's worth over $1 billion in this league.
About your brother's friend who got with a $1,725 bill.
Well,
he needs a job. They need indentured servitude here.
He lives in Peoria, so he's already back in Peoria. He's away from Memphis. But that was the other thing. They didn't pay for their travel home, so some guys had to rent a car.
I can't think of much worse than being stuck with a $1,700 hotel bill, but having to live in Peoria, Illinois may possibly top that. This poor guy can't catch a break, can he? 319-366-1600. We will take a quick timeout. When we return, if you are someone hoping to eventually be able to place a legal sports wager in the state, I've got good news for you. It's not great news yet, but I've got good news for you, and I'll have it for you when we return after this.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their five PGA indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Winter is coming to the Seven Kingdoms. That's a legitimate fear, but you shouldn't fear freedom. No annual contract and no bulky hardware is something to celebrate. You don't have to fear cutting the cord and switching to DirecTV Now, especially since DirecTV Now Plus and Max packages include HBO at no extra charge. So you get all the best movies and original shows like Veep, and you can catch every episode of the final season of Game of Thrones premiering April 14th. Don't fear freedom. Get DirecTV Now. Compatible device required. Charges, exclusions, and restrictions apply.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Car guys know, not all motor oils are created equal. Because when your engine hits 75,000 miles, cheaper motor oils won't do. That's why Valvoline created full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology, designed to fight sludge, condition seals, and better protect critical engine components as your engine ages. Keep your high mileage ride driving well into the future. Valvoline. Trusted for 150 years. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline full synthetic high mileage and a filter for just $34.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
5:49, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, with you for the next, let's call it 40 minutes. Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago will join us to kick off an abbreviated 6 o'clock hour as we step aside for the national championship game tonight in Minneapolis. Virginia and Texas Tech vying for the trophy. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. Who wins tonight's championship? Will it be Virginia or Texas Tech? You can vote now again at KGYMRadio.com. While you're there, you can get details about upcoming giveaways that we have for you, either on the gym class or this program in particular. We will have another pair of tickets to that comedy show at the Paramount for you coming up. On tomorrow's program, Tom Segura is bringing his show to Cedar Rapids in July. Tickets go on sale this Friday, so you can win them before you can buy them. For those who do not necessarily follow along with the day-to-day business of the Iowa legislature, but are interested in whether or not they're going to be able to legally play on draft websites like DraftKings, or heaven forbid, be able to put down some money on Virginia or Texas Tech tonight in the national championship game. Things are still looking good. Things are progressing at this point. There's about a month left in the legislative session before they go their separate ways and head back to their home districts. They have what they call a funnel week. And then there's a second funnel week, and bills that are under consideration have to survive the funnel process. If they don't, then they're off the table. They can't do anything with them until the next legislative session. And the bill that was introduced in the House to legalize sports gambling as well as fantasy sports, and the bill that was introduced in the Senate, it's Senate File 366 and House File 748. Both of those successfully made their way through the second funnel last week. So they are alive and very much in play. And by all accounts, the state of Iowa is poised this legislative session to legalize sports gambling.
We need this to happen just because our segments, Odds and Ends with Lee Sterling, are going to be lit if this does occur.
Well, there's a reason, and I don't want to pat myself on the back here, but there's a reason why I've been talking more about gambling on this program in the last year than I probably did the 7 years prior. I mean, you either understand what direction we're going in or you get left behind. And we're heading in the direction of this coming out into the open, which I think is a good thing. I think the state gets its hands on a lot of money that previously it has been unable to share the wealth with the local bookmakers and the guys that are doing this behind closed doors and out of sight, out of mind. And I how they're going to go about doing this and what they decide on the final parameters, I guess, is still up for debate. But at least right now, it looks like you're going to be able, if I read the file correctly, what they would like to be able to do is you go to a casino, most likely already existing with a license, a gambling license in the state. You would go to a casino that would have a sports book, and you could sign up there to create an account, and then you would be able to download an app on your phone. The reason that you have to go at least the first time and physically present yourself at the casino is you need to prove that you're 21 years of age. So you would go to the casino, you would set up your account, and then you would be able to use an app on your phone to place wagers from anywhere outside of the casino. Inside. So you wouldn't have to physically drive to the casino every time that you wanted to lay action on a Friday night Ivy League basketball game, just in case you're already getting the itch to develop a problem.
I don't know. This sounds like a great way for the state government to make money. It's an unbelievable concept, isn't it?
It is. And look, Delaware and New Jersey, there were a lot of states on the East Coast when the Supreme Court made its decision last year that were in better position to jump on board than the state of Iowa. But the state of Iowa, not too far behind right now. And having heard a couple reports from Prairie Meadows and some of the casinos across the state of Iowa, it's only a matter of time. And I mean, it's going to be a matter of hours once it's legal before they are up and running. 319-366-1600.
Does that mean that we're going to get a casino here in Cedar Rapids?
No, that ship sailed. Still holding out hope for that water park, though.
It was funny. My brother asked me, so where's the casino in Cedar Rapids? I was like, well, they don't have one. And he goes, do they not like money?
No. This city, like every city in the state, likes money. It doesn't sometimes like how the money comes. Well, you know, it's a highly politicized process, as many people
here
will tell
you. That's for
sure. That water park, though, is going to be fire. We need to step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, we will set the table for what is going to be an abbreviated third and final hour of the show tonight before we take you to the Twin Cities for championship basketball. Back with more after this.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam.
Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers slip-ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers slip-ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes down to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex delivers the look of wood without all of the work and the worry. And it's made from 95% recycled materials, which makes it the right choice for your backyard 100% of the time. Make sure your next deck is built with Trex. Visit Trex.com to order samples.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. HomeAdvisor can help get you started. HomeAdvisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. HomeAdvisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
558, not to get overly political here, but I'm assuming the tongue is firmly planted in cheek here on the text line from the texter that said all budget problems will be solved, good roads and schools moving forward. With, you know, the state's got a long way to go before it solves all of its budget problems, but it could take a big step in figuring out a cash infusion just by legalizing. And the question also online is about online poker, and I don't have the specifics on that. The file that I was reading, I didn't get a chance to read the entire, I think it was the Senate file that I was looking at earlier today, as all normal humans do when they have downtime poring over Senate files in state legislatures. I don't know whether that will address being able to play online poker or not, which I know is something that people, look, if you can, there's a way to get around everything nowadays. I know that. But it's been a hassle for the better part of the last decade or so, ever since was it, whatever bill it was that was introduced at the federal level. And yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm excited about this, though, and I know there are a lot of people that are also excited about this. And no one's more excited than the casinos themselves, because they're going to get their hands on even more money. 366-1600. Kyle's going to have another big board for you coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. When we return, Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago checks in with us following a successful opening day at Wrigley Field.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, the national championship game with Virginia and Texas Tech taking center stage tonight. Both boast two of the best defenses in the country, but tonight's matchup won't be just a defensive battle, believes ESPN's Jay Billis.
All this stuff about slow pace and low scoring, it's not like we're back in the late 70s where there's no shot clock and there's no three-point shot. I mean, that was a different era. These guys can play fast, and they can put points up. I think it's going to be low scoring just because these two teams are so good defensively.
Jay Billis on Golic and Wingo. Texas Tech forward Tariq Owens expected to play despite a sprained ankle. Duke confirmed guard Trey Jones is returning to the Blue Devils for his sophomore season. ESPN's Chris Lowe reported UCLA has offered Tennessee's Rick Barnes a package worth at least $5 million a year to become its new basketball coach. Baseball. Yankees pitcher Luis Severino, dealing with right shoulder inflammation, will be reevaluated and get an MRI tomorrow. Yankees want to run tests to figure out why he's not feeling well enough to hit the mound. Pain, not an issue. Cubs pitcher John Lester left today's start with hamstring tightness, while Pirates starter James Tyone left after taking a liner off his head. Lester will have an MRI tomorrow. Initial tests on Tyone were normal. He will be reevaluated tomorrow. NFL news. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers on ESPN Milwaukee today denying a Bleacher Report story from last week that he and former coach Mike McCarthy could not coexist. He also denied that team president Mark Murphy told him not to be the problem when the two discussed new coach Matt LaFleur.
The playoffs begin this Saturday, and both the Rockets and Thunder are preparing for a postseason run. And they go head-to-head tomorrow at 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, presented by Indeed.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
6:02, welcome back in. A Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn being presented to you by Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. If you've got a home improvement project, be it big or small, keep Randy's Flooring in mind. Their staff can help you make sure that it gets done on time and, most importantly, on budget. They can ask any answer any questions that you may have about your project. Again, big or small, they're not going to judge. Randy's Flooring has showrooms in Cedar Rapids and Coralville. You can check them out online at randysflooring.com. Stepping aside at the bottom of the hour tonight on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM for coverage of the national championship game between Virginia and Texas Tech. Cavaliers about a 1.5-point favorite in that contest. In the meantime, checking in with us from Chicago, where the Cubs had a successful home opener, a much-anticipated home opener against the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Jesse Rogers joining us of ESPN 1000. And Jesse, we'll go ahead and start with the big story coming out of today's game. And it wasn't the fact that the bullpen didn't allow a single run. It's the fact that they had to pitch a lot today due to that John Lester injury. Sounds like he will undergo an MRI. Is he in danger of missing any time?
I think he's in danger of missing one start and one start only. It doesn't sound like it's a major injury, a tear, a rip, anything like that. In fact, he said he didn't really feel any pain. It almost felt like a cramp more than anything. And it's not like he wasn't able to go out and pitch, but it affected his mechanics more than anything. So, again, if you're not feeling a lot of pain, if there's no tear, you still have to be careful because it is a hamstring and it is his push-off leg, the left leg. So, I could see him wanting to not miss a start, but I could absolutely see the Cubs saying, yes, you're going to miss one. But the MRI will tell the story, and certainly how he feels tomorrow will tell the story as well.
Do they have contingency plans in place based on what the MRI says tomorrow?
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, I don't think they can become in place, so to speak, you know, in a moment's notice, meaning Tyler Chatwood is stretched out to start a game. He hasn't pitched in a couple days. They could keep him off the mound, or they could dip down to AAA. He's not pitching Lester until Sunday. They have an off day tomorrow, so they actually have an extra day to work with. So there are contingency plans. I don't think they're in place just yet, but they can quickly be put in place. So you go from Lester to Chatwood. I know a lot of Cub fans won't be excited about that. Chatwood versus Mike Trout. I said, well, look, he'll probably walk him anyway, so what's the difference? Because that's when, you know, Lester will play the Angels. We're supposed to face the Angels this weekend. If it's Chatwood, it's Chatwood. They could go down and get Alec Mills at AAA. But either way, it's not John Lester, who has been fantastic, and he was great today. Probably his best stuff today, but we only saw it for two innings.
There was, and rightfully so, among a lot of the fan base during the offseason, some trepidation coming into this season. There weren't a ton of moves made, and the start has not exactly settled any of the Cubs fans down as far as their nerves go, but the pitching, I think most people knew the bullpen was going to be a problem, but outside of Lester, the starting pitching has not been consistent. What's the issue there?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, that algorithm, PECOTA, one of these predictive measurements, you know, said that the starting pitching could come back down to earth. First of all, you don't know what you're getting out of Yu Darvish. You can't even think of him as any sort of an ace or anything like that. He's got to prove it to show us he's even a number three, four, or five at this point. He can't last four or five innings. Hendricks is the one that's more surprising. Katanis had one start. It was bad. I mean, it's just one start. Hendricks is the one that's surprising. He has not looked great. He's not looking good early in games. He's not really extending himself deep into games. That's the mystery. He got a contract extension. I don't think it has anything to do with that. He's had bad Aprils. It's part of a trend or a pattern here that he's trying to eliminate. It just hasn't happened. He's getting hit. And Hamels gave up a grand slam that really ballooned his numbers after getting squeezed on a couple pitches. So maybe some of the numbers are misleading. But overall, you're right. It hasn't been good other than John Lester. But plenty of time to right the ship, obviously.
You mentioned Yu Darvish having to prove himself as a 3, 4, or 5. How much of a leash do you think he's going to get to prove himself?
Oh, I mean, he's going to get a huge leash. I mean, he's got four more years after this. What are you going to do? You're not going to put him in the bullpen. So as long as he's healthy, he's going to start every 5 days. Obviously, there's always a line. I mean, if his ERA is 7 or 8 in a month or 2 months from now, there's always some number that gets him a fake DL IL stint, I guess, injured list stint, or obviously he could go to the bullpen in an extreme situation, but he's going to get every chance to start 30 times a year for the next 5 years. Just that's the way it works. So it would take a lot to get him out of the rotation, let's put it that way.
Jesse Rogers joining us of ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Carl Edwards Jr. struggles mightily at the beginning of the season, goes down to AAA before the team even has its home opener. He looks lost right now. Jesse, when do you think we'll see him back at the big league level this season?
You know, I don't think it's as long as people might think. I mean, he looks lost, but I think he could find it quickly. It's a little different than Ian Happ, who really does have to close up a hole in his swing, and it's going to take time. I mean, the reason I say this is Edwards had a good spring. It's not like he's been off all spring. It just kind of happened to start the season. So I think he could find it pretty quickly down there. It doesn't mean he's going to come back quickly, but I think if he finds it and then he's good for 2 weeks, he's back, that kind of thing. So unless I'm wrong and he really has to start over, but I don't think that's the case. I think he just has to – he needs just a break from the whole spotlight and the pressure and everything else. It just got off – he got off to a bad start, changing his delivery a little bit. A little reset, a breather, I think could actually work for him. But it might be 2-3 weeks just because you don't really send a guy down there for a couple appearances. You know, you really want him to be right before you bring him back up. But I don't think we're talking months.
Jesse, I'm sure you've been asked this a million times by fans on Twitter, but could you imagine any circumstances where the Cubs would show interest in either Craig Kimbrell or Dallas Keuchel?
Not Keuchel. No, not Keuchel. They have enough money in their starting rotation, you know, tied up, unless there were two injuries or something. Not Kimbrell anytime soon. I don't think they want to use up their assets now. As bad as it looks, it's actually getting a little bit better. It probably will stabilize. That's Theo's word. Pretty soon, a good appearance today and yesterday by the bullpen. So they're not going to rush to any judgments. I mean, if Kimbrough's still available midseason and they need to add someone, well, that makes sense because you don't have to trade anybody. But then again, he's rusty as all heck. So the answer is I don't see the scenario anytime soon. No.
Outside of the Lester injury, which obviously puts a little bit of a damper on today, how important was this victory, a shutout over the Pirates where they score 10 runs and the bullpen holds them scoreless for the team's morale?
Well, that's probably the biggest part, the last thing you said about the bullpen. The bullpen needs it for their own confidence. It's such a mental game, and certainly for relievers especially, because they only have a short window to prove themselves every couple days. So I think the confidence thing was important for them to throw another shutout like they did yesterday in terms of just a bullpen keeping the opponent off the scoreboard. And the win, it didn't matter if it was 10-0 or 2-1. Just you need a win. You got to start climbing back to 500. I don't even think it's a mental thing. I just think you need to stay within the race early so you're not even May 1st. You don't want to be 8 games out or something crazy like that. So I think the bullpen needed the confidence. I don't think the team needed a win for the confidence. They just need a win to start getting back into that rhythm of winning and getting back closer to 500 and all that other stuff. They're a competent group. They're a veteran group. 10 games weren't going to define their season either way, but the way Milwaukee's playing, and now Milwaukee plays the Angels, who aren't very good, you just don't want to let them get away from you even this early in the season.
Have you ever seen a situation like this where the offense has been rolling the way that it has, when the team is sitting here at 3-7 almost strictly because of pitching?
No, I think I tweeted this stat out. I think the reason I say no is because of this stat. This is the first team since the 2005 Tigers, so it's 14 years, to have a plus run differential but still be 3-7. They're actually plus one after today's game in run differential, despite that losing record. So it doesn't happen often. You have the offense clicking like that and the pitching that bad. You know, you think of a 500 record, but it reminds you of how important pitching is. The Pirates can't hit, but they can pitch. They're 5-4 after today. So pitching is so important. It's almost twice as important as hitting. Not that you can't, you need both to win a World Series, but you got to get your pitching in order. And I'm actually as worried, like you mentioned, about the starting pitching as I am the bullpen. Because that's where the money's tied up in, and that's the guys that pitch six or seven innings a game, not just to a few batters. So Darvish, Hendricks, and Quintana really got to find their game.
What's going on with Chris Bryant right now? He's healthy. Is he pressing?
I don't think so. I think it's a small sample size. I mean, his batting average isn't that much different than Baez or Rizzo, and no one's asked me about them. Baez does have four homers to Bryant's one. Bryant did double down the right field line today, so he's going oppo. I don't think it's anything more than just a slump. I think we're still surprised when he has slumps. His timing is off, and that could be part of getting back in the rhythm. I mean, if you think about it, he hasn't really been healthy swinging the bat in games since early last season. Forget about spring training. That doesn't completely get you ready. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm making excuses or spinning it for him. Let's see how it goes. He doesn't look great, but there are some signs here and there that'll come out of it. He's got to get back to who he is, using the whole field, but also taking walks. He's got to take some more walks. The one thing is he is swinging through some pitches that he normally hits. That's a timing issue, I believe, at least.
Now, Jesse, it's been a few days, but we haven't had you on since. Were you surprised at all to see the David Bodie extension?
Yes and no. Not on the Cubs' part. That's a really team-friendly deal. It really is. If the worst he is a backup, then that's fine. $3 million for a backup is the going rate. If he becomes more than that, he already is. He's going to start a lot. Then they're getting a deal, and certainly if he turns into a really good player. But on his part, maybe a little surprised. Now he's going to have his third kid. He just turned 25, so probably wanted the security. So that's why I say yes and no. When a guy signs a pre-arbitration extension, it's always a little surprising. But then you think about it, it's $15 million total package. That's nothing for the Cubs. I don't think he's going to turn into a bad player. He can already play really good defense, so that's worth something. So for the Cubs, it's a no-brainer. For him, it's a little surprising. Then again, he would make, at most $1 million next year, and he's going to make $3 million. So I guess if you add it all up, it kind of makes sense on both sides. Guys, three kids at 25. He wants to have a little security over the next 5 years. He has it. And the Cubs certainly get a deal. Look, if a team is willing to sign a pre-arb guy to an extension, you automatically have to know it's good for the team. They don't do that unless it benefits them, because they could be paying him $500,000, then $700,000, then $1 million if they wanted to. But they know that he actually could be a starter and be worth $7, $8, $9 million during the length of this contract at some point. So they definitely got a deal. There's no doubt.
Jesse, we always appreciate the time that you share with us here in Eastern Iowa. Before we part ways with you, Wrigley Field, the latest renovations, how'd they go over today with the fans?
Pretty good. I mean, the one thing is they're cramming as many people into these clubs as they can, and it's a hefty ticket. So if you have the money, you're going to be taken care of. There's, I think, three new clubs. After opening the big 1914 club last year, they have one on the first base side, the third base side, then one right below the press box. So they're expensive tickets. They include food, drinks, all the bells and whistles. So I think people are liking it. Certainly in bad weather, you can go in these clubs and stay warm and eat and drink all you want. But, man, those tickets are getting pricey. Obviously, you don't have to get those tickets, but you just hope the regular fan can afford these games, because more and more you're seeing sort of the rich guys and the corporations take them, and you need those blue collar guys. Those are the core of the fans, right? So, but certainly it looks good. I mean, look, if I had the money, I'd be sitting in those clubs too.
especially when you get off to a 3-7 start, Jesse. We always appreciate the time. Thanks a lot.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. And I saw some pictures earlier today. It's definitely not your father's Wrigley Field. And the Ricketts family, and I say the family because Todd or Laura may be listening right now, and I don't want to give Tom all of the credit here. They appear to have issues with that if you've read some recent reporting.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Laura.
But the Ricketts family has done a lot of things to change the vibe around that team. Most importantly, winning a World Series in 2016, which is something that people were optimistic about the new ownership when they bought the team from the Tribune back in 2009. But I don't know. Everything comes with a price. And like Jesse said, they're taking care of all these people with the money. Are they taking care of the regular fan? And I don't know how many regular fans there are. There's room for in professional sports nowadays. And I'm not just talking about the club level, because even if you're sitting, you know, in upper deck seats or the bleachers, you're shelling out a lot of money, not just for the ticket, but for concessions and for parking. And unfortunately, it prices a lot of people out of the market for attending a game in person. And that's one of the best ways that you can possibly grow your fan base, is introducing, especially at a young age, kids to baseball, football, any sport, really. And we don't have enough time to let me get off on a tangent about some of the things that not just the Cubs ownership, but owners all across the board. Now,
right,
you're seeing it's trending a little bit back in the direction of the fan. I think the Atlanta Falcons deserve a lot of credit for that when they opened their new stadium and lowered concessions prices. And the Minnesota Twins are joining a number of teams in baseball that have select concession stands where the prices are a little bit more family friendly. The bottom line is you got to be able to treat your fans a little bit better, in my opinion. Make it a little bit more affordable to go to a game, and you never know. Maybe they'll be coming back to another game and spending more. Or you could just build a club and charge someone $2,000 a ticket for it. Which is, that's not a Cubs thing. That's an everywhere thing.
And I'm glad
you
say that.
That's an everywhere thing.
Because when we went to Wrigley Field last year, you were not alone in this, but a lot of Cubs fans were saying, gosh, it's so corporate around here. All of the new renovations that have been done in and around the ballpark have taken away a lot of the vibe that we know Wrigley Field as. And I was walking around and I'm like, this is nice. I like these new bars. I like some of the structures that have gone up in and around Wrigley Field, because it's something that the Cubs were hesitant to do because they wanted to keep that old school vibe there, while everyone else in Major League Baseball has done it. You get Ballpark Village in St. Louis. You have the area around the ballpark in Cincinnati, the Great American Ballpark. So many of these new ballparks are building these areas around their ballpark and putting in nice restaurants that charge $7 or $8, $9 a drink. So it's definitely not a Cubs thing. It's, in fact, the Cubs are one of the last teams to come around to that.
And you can always wander 6 or 7 blocks up the street to the Nisei Lounge and get that old Wrigleyville experience. It still exists. They just have pushed it further and further out. You can find it if you're looking for it. The White Sox were at home today as well. They fell victim to another sterling start by Blake Snell of the Tampa Bay Rays. Avisail Garcia celebrating his return to guaranteed rate field as Tampa Bay picks up a 5-1 win. We'll have more baseball updates for you when we return. Kyle's going to squeeze in a big board, and then we will step aside early so we can take you to the national championship game in Minneapolis. Back with the final segment of the program tonight after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Member FDIC.
Car guys know, not all motor oils are created equal. Because when your engine hits 75,000 miles, cheaper motor oils won't do. That's why Valvoline created full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology, designed to fight sludge, condition seals, and better protect critical engine components as your engine ages. Keep your high mileage ride driving well into the future. Valvoline. Trusted for 150 years. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline full synthetic high mileage and a filter for just $34.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
Man, I am reading up on the struggles of Chris Davis in Baltimore.
Oh, my gosh.
He is in an 0-for-44 slump. He's 3 hitless at-bats away from a new Major League Baseball record, and the Orioles still owe him $92 million.
I get that, and I get that they're tanking and they're terrible, but why do they still run him out there?
Because they owe him $92 million. At some point,
enough is enough.
For him mentally, how much more can you put him through? I mean, if he's...
He had one of the worst seasons in baseball history last year and is following, picking up right where he left off.
Just to put the 0-for-44 slump into perspective, the Sporting News points out Mike Trout has had 21 hits in the time since Chris Davis had his last hit. That's pretty bad. 366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line is available for you to reach out to us here. We're in studio for just a few more minutes before we part ways and join up with Westwood One for their presentation of the national championship game tonight. Before we do that, we will squeeze in one final big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can check out their temporary location and keep them in mind the next time you have a home improvement project. Alexander Lumber will help you choose the deck that's just right for your outdoor space and your budget. 2 locations in Iowa City, South Gilbert and Independence Drive. Here's Kyle with a big board update.
I don't mean to overstate anything, but Megan Gustafson just might have become the most decorated athlete in the history of Iowa athletics over the weekend. After leading the nation in scoring and reaching handfuls of milestones, she collected National Player of the Year awards from the Writers Association and the Associated Press. She's the first Big Ten player to claim either, let alone both, as well as the Lisa Leslie Award, and she and Lisa Bluter swept the Naismith Player and Coach of the Year awards. They don't put me on the air for hard opinions, but you can officially put her right up there with Chuck Long and Niall Kinnick. She's also going to be drafted into the WNBA sometime on Wednesday night. There was a little bit of a hullabaloo last week regarding Fran McCaffrey's involvement in the Arkansas job search, but we had some light shed on that yesterday by Jeff Goodman. He reports Arkansas met with East Tennessee State head coach and Iowa native Steve Forbes in Iowa City, where he was grieving the loss of his father, and that explains the flight information that provided the foundation for much of the panic. The Iowa baseball team took a series from Rutgers over the weekend, winning the opener on Friday and splitting a doubleheader on Saturday. Cole McDonald deserves a lot of credit for the Game 1 victory, allowing no runs over 6 1/3, and it was junior first baseman Zeb Adrian having a career day in Game 2. He was 3-for-3 with 4 RBI in the 9-5 victory. The Hawkeyes did get thumped in Game 3, though, 15-3, and next take the field at Bradley on Wednesday. We're hopping off the air here in just a few minutes to pick up coverage of the national championship. It's Texas Tech and Virginia on all 3 frequencies. Tip-off set for around 8:20.
Colonels are home tonight. If you're looking for anything to do, this feels like almost like summer weather out there tonight at the ballpark. They're taking on the Kane County Cougars, the Class A affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. First pitch expected in about 10 minutes. We've got 2 minutes before we get out of here. Poll question brought to you tonight by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Who wins tonight's national championship, the men's national championship? Baylor taking home the women's title yesterday. Virginia, the number one seed remaining in the field, or Texas Tech, which was a 3 seed? Virginia, for betting purposes, about a 1.5-point favorite tonight. Alex, your final thoughts on this matchup before we take everybody to Westwood One?
I think it's going to be a little bit more entertaining than people give it credit for. I'll say that it's going to be in the low 60s, and I like the way that Texas Tech is playing. I think they have the best player on the floor in Jarrett Culver, but that matchup between Jarrett Culver and DeAndre Hunter is going to be very fun. But I think these teams are going to get after each other defensively. That's a given. But the whichever star plays better between Hunter and Culver, that's who's going to win the game.
Yeah, I don't have much of a read on this one. I agree with my my old pal from Northwestern, Tim Doyle, who says he likes Texas Tech in this one, but he wouldn't hammer it for betting purposes. But if you're going to give Chris Beard and Texas Tech 1.5 points, yeah, you at least consider it there. It should be a good game. It should be an entertaining game. It's just not going to feature two blue bloods, and that rubs some people the wrong way. But if you're somebody that likes good basketball and certainly defensive basketball, you're 10 seconds away from joining up with Westwood One's presentation of the title game from Minneapolis. We will rejoin you again tomorrow. Local programming kicks off at 3 o'clock with Scott and Mark.